Guys, let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 13 as we continue to work through the book of Luke. And we're up to verses 31 through 35 as we finish up Luke 13 today. Looking today specifically at facing opposition. Facing opposition. Notice what it says in chapter 13, verse 31. It says, on that very day, some of the Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem.'" Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers a brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house has left you desolate. And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. And Lord, we just ask now that, Lord, you would open your word to us. God, your word is all we need to fill our hearts and, God, to reach where we are today. And yet, Lord, sometimes we find our ears spiritually clogged. And so, Lord, I ask that you would remove any blockage that there would be in our ears this morning. I pray you would get our focus on you and on your word. Lord, I pray you would make our heart tender to receive. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would teach us and instruct us as we, your followers, Lord, will face the same things to some degree that you faced. And Lord, in that, we need to know how to properly conduct ourselves. And so, Lord, we ask now that you would just teach us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Facing opposition. Guys, something that Jesus was very familiar with was facing opposition. And let me say this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are also going to be familiar with this topic. Facing opposition. Now, you can control how much opposition you face. That's up to you. If you stay real quiet and you're just a good little Christian who goes to church and doesn't say anything anywhere outside the church walls, easy life, no problems. You're not going to face opposition. Things will go great. Things will go smooth. You won't make any headway for the kingdom, but you yourself will not face a lot of hassles. However, should you desire to follow the commission of the Lord, where he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," guys, I can guarantee you, you're going to face opposition. And so the Lord himself, being our leader and being the one that went into all the world preaching the gospel, he was first and foremost the one that faced the opposition. But remember what he said. He said, "If they've done this to me, they'll do it to you." He said, "If they've opposed me, they'll oppose you. Likewise, if they listen to me, they'll listen to you." So it works as a team here. We're part of his family and we're part of his ministry outreach, if you will. And guys, we can expect the same things. But let me just say this. If you're ever going to make a stand, you're going to face opposition. It goes with the territory. Now, there are two main reasons before we get into this passage I want to look at that we face opposition. The first one is obviously Satan and the demonic realm. Remember, we have an enemy. Jesus has an enemy. The kingdom of God has an enemy. The Bible says that Satan tried to fight against God and take over the kingdom. God threw him out. And now we are a part of that. So now we're the enemy. Even as God was the enemy to Satan, now you're the enemy. It's not to be intimidated because your God is much greater. But you're still on the battlefield against the enemy. And so the opposition is going to come from Satan in the demonic realm. That, again, just goes with the territory. But secondly, there are those not only in the demonic realm, but guys, on the earthly realm that will oppose you. It is Satan that spearheads this behind the scenes. But even in the earthly realm, you have those, as Jesus said, they love darkness rather than light. And therefore, when you begin to shine the light, what happens? Douse it. Come on, Rudolph, put something over that nose. They don't want it to shine. It's going to interrupt their vision of things. It's going to make them change their life. And it's going to, a lot of times, and again, depending on how we shine that light, it hurts their eyes. You know what it's like. You're in the room. Somebody turns the light on 3 o'clock in the morning. What's the first thing you do? You cover your eyes. And see, that's why when we begin to share the gospel with people, we need to use tact. We don't want to walk up with a spotlight and go, "Hey, anybody, you know, I'm just right in their face," and just nail them. And yet at the same time, guys, we've got to be bold and upfront. But it comes with tact and it comes with trusting in God's spirit to do that. Now, why do we need to be aware that there's going to be opposition? First of all, you know there is. If you've been a believer for any length of time, you know there's opposition. But guys, the reason you need to know there's opposition, well, there's three that I jotted down. Number one, so that you'll not be caught off guard. Now, if you've been walking with the Lord any amount of time, you're not caught off guard today. When you share the Lord, you know what happens. You're going to get opposition many times. Not always, but many times. But as a new believer, I mean, think about it. You think, hey, I've got this great message. I've met Jesus. He saved me from eternal hell. He's let me into heaven. He can let you into heaven. You think everybody's going to be happy with that. Wrong. They're not going to be. Now, see, you're going to face opposition. They don't want to hear that. Secondly, it's so that we will know what to expect. That's why it's important to realize you're going to face opposition so you know what to expect. Everybody's not going to welcome you with open arms. And as we're going to see as we get into this passage, what does that mean we do? Do we back down? Do we run away? We're going to find out that's not the case. And thirdly, why do we need to understand this and be aware of it? So that we will understand the tactics of the enemy. Remember, as an ambassador of the truth, Satan wants you out of the way and he wants you quiet. It's bad enough he lost you to the kingdom. If you give your life to the Lord, okay, there's a loss. Big deal. I mean, he hates it, but he can't change it at that point. But now the worst thing you could do beyond that is start affecting other people to come into the kingdom. So his job, his heart, his desire, gets you out of the way, make you ineffective as a Christian, and to quiet you down. How can he make you ineffective? Well, one is pull you back in sin. If he pulls you back into the world, you're not going to be effective. If you're living in sin right now, you as a Christian, if you're doing things you know you're not supposed to be doing, I can guarantee you, you're not being the witness God has called you to be. I guarantee it. Why? It goes with the territory. You cannot live in sin and be a bold witness for righteousness. When you're in sin, you back off of righteousness. When you're in righteousness, you back off of sin. There's an old proverb that says, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. And that's exactly accurate. The two are opposites of each other. And so it's important to realize that if we're going to make a stand for the Lord, we're going to face opposition because Satan's desire is to either draw you away by pulling you back in sin or else to intimidate you and put fear in your heart. How many of you have wanted to share? Think about it. Probably most of you, if you've known the Lord for any length of time, you've wanted to share, but in this particular situation, you've been too intimidated. Maybe you've been too afraid. It's a work of the enemy. His desire is to silence us. And let me say, before we even get into this passage, there is no situation nor any place that you are not to share Jesus Christ as God opens up the doors and the opportunity. Now, in all those situations and places, you should use tact. But guys, there's never a place you should be so intimidated that you can't speak the truth. Again, we've talked about the famous preacher Latimer, who was King George, had come to one of his, either King George or King Henry, had come to one of his teachings one time, and he was pacing outside the door saying to himself, Latimer, 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 the king is here, the king is here. You know, you can't say the things on your heart, because if you do, you may offend the king, and this guy controls your life. Latimer, Latimer, the king is here. And the story goes that God spoke to his heart and said, Latimer, Latimer, the king is here. Speak what I tell you. You have a higher king. You have a higher authority. Guys, oftentimes we get intimidated and we get backed down by those who want to make us afraid to share. The Lord says, pray for boldness. You know, I don't have an argument with the enemy that I can be intimidated. And I don't have an argument with the enemy that I can have fear that will overwhelm me. I agree with that. But guys, once we understand that, we can say, you know what? That's true. I do have fears. I can be intimidated. But now, Lord, I ask that you would give me the power to overcome that. And that's when the Lord steps in and gives us the boldness. So how did he do it? Well, let's look at how he faced opposition today. Notice this. The first thing is he remained or stayed courageous. Look in verse 31. Now, a little bit of the setting here, I guess we need. Remember, he had just told them, speaking to them, that the gate was narrow into the kingdom. He said, you know, the gate is broad that leads to destruction. Most people are not going to enter the kingdom throughout world history. The majority are not going to enter. That's a tough thing to hear, number one. But the second thing to hear, especially if you're on that side that's not entering at the time, is someone to tell you that you're wrong and the gate's narrow and you've got to change your ways or you're not getting in. That's what Jesus just did. Jesus just stood up to the religious crowd and said, you know what, guys? The gate's narrow and you are the religious. Although you're religious, you're not getting in because you don't have a relationship with me. You've got your religion, but you're lacking relationship. He said, the gate is narrow. Now, this didn't exactly make them happy. And notice what the Lord says, really, it's on that very same day, there's a response that comes from them very quickly. He stood for the truth. Immediately, there's going to be this opposition that comes in from the enemy. Notice verse 31. On that very day, again, they didn't waste any time, did they? On that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, get out, depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now, notice this. On the very day, again, this was the day where the Lord had said, you know what? You guys aren't getting in. So it stirred their dander. It got them upset. They started saying, hey, we got to get rid of this guy. And again, notice it was the, I want to point this out too, right off the bat. It was the religious crowd that opposed him first. And guys, some of your greatest opposition as a believer is going to be the religious crowd. How it drives me crazy to see the church, the true church, making a stand for righteousness in our nation when all these different issues come up. And you see these so-called reverends or pastors or whatever that stand up and say, well, we think that's wrong. And we think there's, and I'm like, where'd these guys come from? Who put them there? The Lord certainly didn't, and yet they were also there in Jesus' day. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious crowd that didn't love God, they loved themselves, and they were the ones that were in the opposition. But notice what they say. It's interesting to me, again, Satan's tactic. Two things here, get out and depart from here. And again, we talked about two of his most common approaches, get away and be quiet. Get away and be quiet. Still the same today. That's what happens in our nation. Listen, this is too applicable. Even in the recent years in our government, what are they saying? We want Christianity out of our government. We want the Bible and prayer out of our government. Guys, it had to be there or they wouldn't want it out, which means at one point in our nation, it was there. What does that tell us? They're wanting it removed. What about our schools? Same thing. Get the word of God out. Get prayer out of the schools. Guys, here's the same tactic of the enemy that he's used throughout the centuries. Get out of here. Be quiet. We want to silence you. And if necessary, we'll pass laws to see that it happens. Guys, I can guarantee if you share Jesus with those around you, be prepared for some to say, you know what, just be quiet. Keep your religious views to yourself. How many of you have heard this? Religion is a private issue. Do you realize, and let me just say this, if maybe you've said that before, and I'm not lifting up religion. I'm not big on religions. Matter of fact, I think there is a biblical religion that is good. But guys, religion with what man has done with it is something that is not good. Again, we said the key is relationship, not religion. But guys, if you've ever thought this, or maybe you're thinking this today, you've ever heard somebody say, you know what? Religion is a private issue, or your spirituality is a private issue. It may be for them, but it's not for Christianity. As a matter of fact, for Christianity, Jesus said the exact opposite. He said, it's not silent. He said, preach it from the rooftops. That don't mean get up on your house and start preaching. That probably fits some of the stereotypes many think. But the point is we're supposed to be out and be bold. We don't cower down into silence. We are the light bearers of the world. This world is dying and going to hell. If we don't go to them and shine that light and hold it out and say, here's the light, who's going to do it? If the government tells us to be quiet, if the schools tell us to be quiet, if the people around us tell us to be quiet, and we say, okay, we're going to be quiet, what's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to the lost? And again, we'll get to that in a minute. There's balance with that. You know, that doesn't mean that we force ourselves on anyone. You know, Jesus didn't force himself. Remember when he went to the Gadarenes and the community said, we don't want you here. Well, the Lord left because the community didn't want him there. But again, the Lord does not respond to just a few. If there's always going to be some that oppose. But the Lord is very bold and courageous, as we're going to see in this episode here, where he's not going to be intimidated or let fear silence him or push him out of the picture. And notice their tactic here to keep Jesus quiet and to get him to move on. What do they say? Herod's going to get you. You know, be quiet. Herod's going to kill you. And by the way, Herod the Great. This is his son, Herod Antipas. And this would have been a very intimidating and fearful thing, especially to the disciples. Now, remember who Herod Antipas was. Guys, this is the guy that cut off John the Baptist's head. That's something that's all too real to many of us as Americans today, the gruesomeness of this type of thing. And it would be like saying, look, you know the kind of people that do that? They're coming after you. If you don't quit this Jesus stuff, your head's going to roll. Wow. How many of us in our heart would not say, whoa, I don't want that to happen to me? As I can imagine the hearts of the disciples. He's saying, look, you know, Herod's coming after you, Jesus, you're next. And so it was more than just a vicious person. It was also a government official coming after him. And so I can imagine the disciples here saying, you know what, man, this is serious stuff. And I try to picture how they would watch him and how they would react and how they would respond. But let me say this, the boldness of our God is what gave them boldness. And guys, the boldness of our God today is what gives us boldness. To understand that, listen, we are here to be his witnesses. As we're going to see in just a minute, you're not going anywhere until God says so. God supernaturally, I believe, protects you. But now notice this king, this government authority, Herod the Great, Herod used both tactics. He said, you know, you can't share that stuff here. You know, separation of church and state, so to speak. We won't allow it. And yet as Christians, we're commanded to keep speaking no matter what is around us, including even if there are government restrictions. Now listen, let me make this clear, guys. I'm not teaching civil disobedience. I'm not saying that means that we need to go out and now disobey the government. No, as a matter of fact, in Romans 13, what does it say? God has placed the government and the governing authorities in our lives for our help, for our instruction, for us to follow, for our protection, and we're to come under that. But guys, when the governing authorities or those around us tell us that we're to be silenced in opposition to what God's word says, we are to politely say no thank you. We have to speak up. Where do we see this in Scripture? I love it. Peter and John standing before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4. But why? Because we answer to a higher authority. But in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, notice what it says. Peter and John have been sharing Jesus on the Temple Mount. And the governing authorities, by the way, this was the same as Israel's Congress. Their Sanhedrin were their legal officials. And so they had said, you can't share anymore in this name Jesus. And notice what it says. He said, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Basically, it's enough. We don't want to hear this Jesus stuff. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Note that. Guys, if we silence ourselves because someone else tells us to be quiet, who are we listening to? God or those who are telling us to be quiet? We're listening to a lesser authority. God says, hey, Peter says here, whether it's right to listen to you or to God, you know, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, we've got to share. We have no choice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, you remember the story. The king had said, you'll bow down to me. You'll bow down to my God and you'll worship me. This governing authority, this king that was fearful, that could put them to death. And yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we have a higher authority. We answer to God. And notice what they answered them here. Speaking to them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, and this was after he had asked them to bow down and to obey the government ruling, if you will, for their gods. He says, we have no need to answer you in this matter. And if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And guys, I don't see these guys red-faced yelling at Nebuchadnezzar. I don't see that in this scene. When you read that passage, they don't seem to me to be defiant up in the government's face. You know, we're going to do this. No, they're just, you know what, look, we respect you. We honor you. You're in that position. God has placed you there. We will come under that. But when you ask us to go against the word of God, we must politely yet firmly say no. Whether it's right to obey man or God, you decide. But we've decided we must obey God. Guys, that's a decision that we as all believers must be in a place to make. And again, that balance, again, not to be obnoxious and not to be defiant against authority. But the point is that we have a higher authority that we're serving and we must be obedient to him. Now, again, fear is probably Satan's number one tactic. And again, when you've wanted to share, what has happened in your heart? When you've had that opportunity to share, didn't your heart start doing this? Starts bumping, you know, it's really going now. As one of my girls says, your heart really starts beeping. It's because Satan tries to bring in fear. Oh, they're not going to like you. You're not going to be accepted. Guys, listen, I'm like you guys. I like to be liked. But God didn't call us and save us to be liked, did he? Again, this is not a license to be rude. Tact, kindness, grace, that's what the Christian should be adorned with. But at the same time, guys, we cannot be backed down from doing what God has called us to do. And the Lord here, our great example, is not backing down at all. He had to continue the work. I think of Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah doing the work of God. Even as Jesus here was doing the work of the Father. Nehemiah is doing the work of the Father. What happens? All these people come around him and start telling him all these fearful things. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be killed. Everybody's going to do all these things. And Nehemiah said, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to continue on. God's called me to do this, and I'm going to continue on. You know, if the Lord sees fit for something to take place, then so be it, but I'm going to continue on. There was that courageous spirit. There was that heart saying, you know what? Lord, give me strength. And I don't want to say that, you know, kind of the old be courageous on your own. I think we need to seek the Lord for that courage. God, give us boldness. Remember the early church in their opposition. They said, Lord, give us boldness. They prayed, and God gave them boldness. That's what we're supposed to do. But now after the intimidation and the fear come, the first phase here about staying courageous, notice next, the Lord stayed firm. He stood firm in this. Notice what happens in verse 32. I love this. I love Jesus. And he said to them, go tell that fox. I love it. Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected. Now, several things to note here. Notice number one, Jesus calls Herod a fox. This is a cunning, wily, destructive animal. Foxes are known for their cunningness, but they're also very destructive. A great description of Herod. And I don't think that Jesus went around name-calling government officials. He wasn't like name-calling. He was using the proper name for what this man was. And the Lord had no time for Herod. You know, Herod was in a sad state. He had gone as far as a man could go off the deep end. Remember, even when Pilate sent Jesus over to Herod the day that he was crucified, what happened? Jesus had nothing to say to him. Even Pilate, who we know was wicked and murdered multitudes, Jesus reached out to, did he not? Are you the Son of God? Do you ask that for your sake or for someone else? Who do you think you are? I'm the one that controls your life. I'm the one that does. The Lord was reaching out to him. He was saying, you know what? Are you asking, do you want to know, Pilate? There's an opportunity for you here to receive me as well. You don't have to be a part of this. He says, don't you know that I hold your life in my hands? He said, you would hold nothing in your hands were it not given to you by my Father in heaven. Ooh. See, this is not something that's said by a man who's fearful. This is something that's said by a man who's walking in the boldness of his God, even though he faces some tough moments ahead. Guys, again, it was because the Lord received his strength from the Father, even as we need to receive it. Herod was so bad, even Pilate at least got a witness. You know, there was at least a Pilate light, so to speak. Herod, when he went to Herod, what did he say? Nothing.
absolutely nothing. Guys, that's a fearful thing when we come to the place where the Lord won't even speak to us. And here he calls him a fox. He says, this is the Herod, remember, that cut off John the Baptist's head. Again, this could be easily something intimidating and fearful, I think, as the enemy was really trying to use this. And again, I believe the disciples would have been fearful here, but it took guts to say to a king who was a murderer, you know what, go tell that fox, I'm going to continue to do the work of my father. I understand authority, I come under earthly authority, but I have a higher authority than my father, and I'm going to continue to do the work my father's called me to do. And whatever the governing authority decides to do with that, so be it. And so we see this boldness, we see this strength here, these guts. And it's interesting here, guys, this word fox here. Well, let me just say this. I hate the feminine portrayals that you have of the Lord. The Lord was a man's man. You know what I mean? You see these pictures of kind of this, you know, I don't know, this weakling type of whatever, and this kind of feminine almost type in some of these portrayals. And yet, God, that's not the Jesus we see at all, is it? Again, I mean, I look at the Lord going in there and taking the whip of cords and driving all these people out of the temple and saying, get out of my father's house. I mean, that's pretty courageous. That's pretty bold. And for all those people to respond to that, this guy was no wimp. He was no sissy. But it's interesting here as he's confronting Herod, you know, in his boldness, he says, you know what? This fox, guys, that's in the feminine there. Now, again, it's a feminine noun. And one commentator states that indeed he was calling Herod a female fox. Now, that's calling him a coward. Now, you know what? You might have the authority and sit in a place to cut people's head off, but you know what? You're a coward. You're a coward. You're not a true man. And you go and tell that fox that I'm going to continue to do the walk. It's kind of like this, you know, you go tell that girly man, forget it. That's really what he was saying, is it not? And what did the Lord say? I love this because what did he say? We kind of complete the picture. Before he ascended, he said, you tell them I'll be back. Guys, he was a man's man. He was no wimp. And he says, I'm going to continue to do my father's business no matter what anyone else says or anyone else does. Now notice, he says, I'm going to do it today, tomorrow, and the third day I'll be perfected. I don't think he was talking about three literal days here. In the scriptures, and really in that day, and the way they use the language, being perfected was a sign of maturity. The Lord's just saying this, I'm going to continue to do what I've been called to do until it's done, until it's perfected, until it's mature. And I think that's the point the Lord was making here. I'm going to continue on until I'm finished. The point was this, I will not stop, nor can anyone stop me until I have completed what the Father has put me here to do. And guys, we need to have the same resolve, because you're going to face opposition, not just even words from people. You're going to face spiritual opposition. You're going to face discouragement. You're going to face times where you think, you know what, why am I, what's this all about? Why should I make such a stand? Why, you know what, it's like, if I just go along, everybody will like me. Why don't I just be quiet and be a good little boy? And then God begins to burn in your heart and say, because I've called you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that the lost might be saved. And you know what? You might not be as liked as you want to be, but you're going to be rewarded greatly in the kingdom. And all those people that I use you to lead to me are going to be thankful when they get there. Guys, God can use you for the kingdom and wants to. But you've got to say, Lord, give me the courage and help me to be courageous. And I want to say this again. This is an important comforting truth here, guys. As a believer, I truly believe the scripture teaches this. Nothing can happen to you until it's your time. Nothing. If you go out in the name of the Lord, I don't care what threats happen. I don't care what country you go to. I don't care what witness you are. If it's not your time to go, you're not going to go. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be foolish. I mean, you know, you can throw yourself out in front of a car and say, okay, it's not my time. And you're going to know if you throw yourself out in front of a car, you'll probably get killed. And you'll probably go to be with the Lord sooner than what he planned and maybe than what you were thinking. But guys, I believe this. You make a stand for the Lord no matter where you are. God's going to be your protection. He just does. And so these fear tactics, this is huge when it comes to the enemy and fear tactics, because he wants to scare us. And as I've said before, I would much rather have people that I love down here dislike me and then be with them forever in heaven than to have all the people down here that I like love me and all of them go to hell eternally. Guys, it really comes down to what's the most important thing to us. Do we want to be everybody's buddy? Do we want everybody in the family to accept us? Do we want everybody at work to think we're a great person? Or do we want to stand for Jesus Christ? Listen, a lot will see you as a great person standing for Jesus Christ, but a lot won't as well. And so that's the decision we have to make. And then once that decision is made, it's like full on. I love it. The Bible says Jesus set his face to Jerusalem like flint. And again, we talked about it. It's like sparks flying off. You know, you strike flint with a rock. You know, it's the Lord. He was there. And notice in verse 33, now he says this, he says, nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. In other words, I do have to travel on, as a matter of fact. You can let Herod know that. I do have to travel on. But I'm not traveling on because of Herod. I'm traveling on because I have a work to do that my father has called me to do. And so now we see he lets them know he's moving on. But what a sad statement here is the Lord says, you know, I have to journey today because a prophet should not perish anywhere except in Jerusalem. What a sad statement, indictment on the nation of Israel. And on Jerusalem, how ironic. The place that should have been the most receptive to God was the least receptive. You know, Jerusalem means double peace. It means double peace. You know, the Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it means itself double peace. It's a place where peace is supposed to be lifted up. And yet, even today, as you can see, it's a place that's not really held up as a place of peace. But how sad it was here, you know, it's the most opposed place to the King of Peace when he came to the earth. And again, there's a number of reasons for that. And again, I believe a lot of those, again, of course, because of the enemy and the attacking. But notice Jesus said, I will be moving on, but not because of Herod. I've got work to do. It's not going to be this known killer that's going to put me to death. It's going to be my own people and at my bidding because I've come to die. And now lastly, again, notice as he goes into verse 34 here, the last thing is stay tender. Now notice the first couple of things here when he got into it, he stayed courageous. And then secondly, after he stayed courageous, he stayed firm. And now lastly, notice this, he stays tender. Now what do I mean by staying tender? I want to say this, when you're in the position of being a bold witness for Jesus Christ and you face a lot of opposition, slander, lies, people that just get angry at you for no reason. Honestly, people, I've had people yell at me before for no reason. I remember running into another spiritual leader one time at this event where they had all these different pastors and priests and all these people or whatever, and I'll just call him a spiritual leader of what spirit I know, but not of the Lord's. But he asked me, so what are you doing here and what do you believe? You know, and it's just a couple of questions. And I don't even remember the conversation other than just mentioning the fact that Jesus Christ was indeed the only way, something to that effect. It was answering his question, but it had to do with why we were there. This guy just began to mock. How ridiculous. What a joke. I mean, just mocking, whatever. It's like, I didn't know me. Knew nothing about me. It wasn't what I said. It's because I was simply saying what Jesus said. And guys, the point you've got to realize is that the opposition is going to come. When you make these stands, you're going to face a lot of stuff. And it's not going to be fun. I jokingly say I was a well-liked person before becoming a pastor. And it seems like, and I'm not saying, everyone's not my enemy. At least some of you guys, I think, aren't. No, I'm just kidding. But I have found that if God calls you, and God has called all of us to be a spokesman, if we speak out, whether it's a pastor, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's with our family, you know what? You're going to lose friends. You're not going to be as popular as you used to be. It just goes with the territory. Because again, we've got to realize that our popularity that we want is with our Father. That's where we seek our popularity, not down here. And not with the things down here and with the people down here. Even though we love each other and we care for each other. But in this last portion here, as we get into these last couple of verses, it's important to note this. Not only do we stay courageous and stay firm, guys, we also need to stay tender. And again, why do I say that? Because when you do make a bold stand for the Lord and the attacks and the opposition does come your way, it's very easy for your heart to toughen up and say, oh yeah, all right, great. Well, I quit. Well, you don't want Jesus? Then forget it. You can't. I mean, there's attitudes. The Lord was never one to do that. The Lord's heart stayed tender the entire time. And notice the tenderness of his heart. Here they are rejecting him. Here they are. He's going to his death at Jerusalem. He's going to be killed by these people. And notice what it says here in verse 34. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now hear the lament of his voice. The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. Notice the compassion here that he shows the people in this weeping lament. And again, how ironic. He says, oh, place, literally, oh, place of double peace, oh, place of double peace. You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. Doesn't sound like a place of peace to me, does it you? And yet he says, you guys should be the ones. Notice how often I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. The way that hens do with their chicks is they, when the chicks are in danger or they feel there's some danger, they spread their wings out and the little ones run under there and they put their wings over them. And that way they can protect them. There have been actual accounts where they have found birds after forest fires with the wings out, picked the bird up. I remember one particular account where they turned a bird over that had its wings like that, not expecting anything, turned it over because it had completely burned and scorched the side of the mountain. Everything was gone. And underneath that bird was some live chicks. The mother, when she saw the flames coming, knew she couldn't get away. She gathered them there. She spread her wings out. The fire went over the top, killed her, and all her little ones lived. What a beautiful picture of what the Lord wants to do for us. He died for us, guys. When the fire of crucifixion came racing across the mountain of his decision, he didn't run. He spread his wings out and said, all that will come under these wings, I'll protect from the fire of eternal judgment. But guys, we have to make that decision to accept it. And the Lord says, how often I wanted to do it for you guys, for Jerusalem. I desired to spread my wings, but you wouldn't have anything to do with it. You had no part of it, so to speak. It's interesting to me here, too. He says, I wanted to spread my wings out. You know, the only one that talks about having wings for protection in Scripture is God himself. And Jesus here again now declaring that he is God. I am your God, the one in whom now has a place for you under my wing if you would only receive and if you would only respond. But lastly, guys, and this is key, notice this. This is what separates those who enter the kingdom and those who do not. He says, but you were not willing. Note that. It's not that they couldn't accept Jesus. It's that they wouldn't accept Jesus. He said, you're not willing to do it. You've made a willful choice to reject the Lord, although he laid his life out for you. And guys, the scriptures declare that God desires that everyone be saved. You know, we talked where he said last week, which I think probably got these guys all fired up about the narrow is the gate that leads to life. And it probably stirred these guys up and got them really riled up about it. It's not that the Lord wants it to be that way. It's not that he wants there to be few that find it. The reality is the gate is narrow. It's through him, but there's few that find it because they won't come to him. And so the Lord, again, he's not going to force us, but it's our choice. Notice they had to make a choice in it. I want to say this, guys. There is a choice. Yes, the Father is one that does the saving, but you've got to allow him to, and you've got to yield to that. Notice he goes on here in verse 35. He finishes up and he says, see, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Notice the results of rejecting the Lord. He says, your house is left you desolate. Guys, 2 points on that. One is, yeah, I think your earthly house, not in the sense you might not lose it all. You may not have your house destroyed. But in the sense of being out there on your own, separated from God, yes, you are out there on your own, separated from God. But more than that, guys, your house is left to you desolate eternally. It's an eternal separation, eternal desolation. Literally, it happened to the Jews in 70 AD. The Romans came in, wiped them out, destroyed them. But guys, it happened at their death as well, eternally, for those who didn't come to the Lord, that eternal destruction. And notice he says, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, guys, I believe this is a dual prophecy. Remember some 3 or 4 months later, the Lord comes to Jerusalem, rides in on the donkey, and what do they say? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I believe partially fulfilled here, but guys, also it tells us in Zechariah that when the Lord comes back, there's going to be great weeping and lamenting among the Jews, among the Jewish nation. And they're going to be rejoicing in the fact that their Savior has come, but the realization that it's Jesus, the one they've rejected, and there's going to be great weeping and great lamentation when he comes back. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let me leave us with this. Listen, we need to be courageous. We need courage in the days we're living in. It's not going to get any easier as a Christian in the planet we're on. The United States is one of the few nations left that holds up Christianity. And as you guys know, there are other religions that are spreading very rapidly around this world. It means that we live in a day and age that we need courage. If we're going to carry out the Great Commission, we've got to be bold. So how do we do it? Well, Mark, I'm afraid. Well, you know what? Sometimes I am too. So what do? We say, Lord, give me boldness. I need your boldness. And we ask for God to give us that boldness and be courageous. And then when God does, we stand firm in it. We don't bend on it. We say, that's it. This is the way to go. And it's non-compromisable. God has shown us the way. We've got to stand firm in that. And lastly, guys, we need to guard our hearts and make sure that we stay tender as we face opposition, because it's going to come. Be prepared for it, be ready for it, but stay tender. Have a heart of compassion. I remember reading one pastor's comment one time. He said, in order to be a strong witness for the Lord, you've got to have the skin of a rhino and the heart of a child, because you're going to take a lot of harpoons, but your heart has to be soft in order to be able to reach those that need you. Be courageous. Be bold in the Lord. Don't be a girly man. But guys, more than that, listen, maybe some of you this morning have never given your life to the Lord at all. Maybe Jesus is weeping over you this morning and saying, you know, how many times I have desired to spread my wings over him or over her or over them, and they just weren't willing. They wouldn't respond. I gave them opportunity after opportunity. I had people go to them. I had people share with them, and yet they still wouldn't respond. Guys, listen, if God is knocking on your heart this morning, now's the time to respond. This is the time now to say, Lord, you know what? I've held off long enough. I want to come under the shadow of your wings. Because, guys, there is that day coming where we will all stand before the Lord. And it's only those that have come under the shadow of his wings that are going to be protected from the fire of eternal judgment. Today's the day. And now's the time. Let's pray. God, I do pray, first of all, Lord, that you would make us courageous in the days we live. Lord, I thank you for your example of boldness. In the face, Lord, of a wicked ruler who was known for his murder, Lord, you stood firm. You were courageous. And I know, Lord, that you did that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, this morning, we desire to stand firm. That's our desire, to stand firm, Lord, to be your witnesses and to not back down. And Lord, I ask God that you would give us boldness, even as they prayed in the early church, give us boldness. Lord, I pray that this morning you would give us boldness, that we could be courageous and we could stand firm with you, Lord, and for you. And Father, I want to pray not only that we would stand firm, Lord, I pray that you would keep our heart tender. Lord, as we do step out, as we are a witness for you, Lord, and as we do face opposition, I pray that we, Lord, would weep over the lost the same way that Jesus wept over them, even weeping over those who are doing the persecuting. Lord, give us that type of heart. And Father, I pray if there are any this morning that have not given their heart to you, Lord, time and time again, you have said, how I have desired to spread my wing over you. And yet, Lord, they have resisted and they have fought you, Lord. God, I pray that this morning that they would gather under the shadow of your wing and they would take your protection on themselves. Lord, that they would know that you died on the cross for their sin and rose the third day. And all they need to do is to accept that, ask forgiveness, and run under the shadow of your wing, and you will make them, Lord, a part of your protected family. So, Lord, we pray you would do it in those hearts if there are any here today. And God, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.